Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Patrick and get a free phone. Go to charitymobile.com.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Okay, we are back. 1 hour in the can, 2 hours to go. If you want to be part of the experience, my number is 888-914-9149. I'm going to get to your phone calls momentarily. But first, though, I have to kind of tie things up. I was talking about conscience with you a minute ago. And just a few more things that bear repeating. I'm just simply saying what the church says, but maybe through the filter of personal experience. I mean, if you've ever had a guilty conscience, if you have a guilty conscience now, you should thank God, because that means that your conscience, that operation of your soul that tells you if something's right or wrong, if it's functioning properly. I mean, some people can take a hammer to their conscience and destroy it to the point where they don't even hear it anymore. But that's the 8-lane superhighway to hell if you do that. So if your conscience is functioning properly and you feel guilty about something, then you should thank God, because that's his way in your soul of telling you to get right with him and go to confession, seek his forgiveness, be repentant, etc. But the last part of all this is very important, and that is, how do you know the difference between what you want to do and what you ought to do? How do you know? Well, there are three factors, and you can take this into any situation that involves what the moral theologians would call a human act. A human act is not like sneezing or burping or laughing at something funny. A human act is something, some action. It could also involve your thoughts as well, but some action or some thought process that has a moral quality to it. It's either immoral or it's moral, or it may be morally neutral. It could be morally neutral, or it could tip either to be immoral or moral, depending upon these three things. Here are the three things. So the act itself, or what some people would refer to as the object of the act, what is it that you're thinking about doing? Okay. Second thing is the circumstances. Under what circumstances are you considering doing this thing? The third thing is, what are your intentions? So let's use an example. You have a knife in your hand, and you have decided that you're going to stick a knife, this knife, you're going to stick it into that guy's body. What is the object of the act? Well, the object of the act is you're going to knife this guy. What are the circumstances? Well, you're in a bar fight, and this guy said something you didn't like, so you picked up a steak knife, and you're in a fight with him, and if he gets close enough to you, you're going to stab him with the steak knife. And what is your intention? Your intention is to stab this guy. Okay. Red light, red light, red light. Sin written all over that, right? Because the object of the act itself would be immoral, to try to harm somebody. The circumstances are immoral because you're involved in a knife fight. And your intention is immoral because you intend to cause great bodily harm, if not death, to this person. Let's take a different scenario. Let's say that you have a knife in your hand. And your intention, the object of the act in this case, is you're going to stick a knife in this guy. What are the circumstances? Well, he's flat on his back on a gurney in a hospital operating room because he's dying of some life-threatening condition that's going to require immediate surgery. And what is your intention? Well, your intention is to save his life. So when you stick that knife in him, we call that knife a scalpel in this situation, you stick that knife in the guy, you're doing the same thing. You're sticking a knife in a guy. But the object of the act is very different. The circumstances are certainly different, and your intention is different. So to use that as an example, here's a way, and you can do this endlessly in your life. You can take this to any given situation. Doesn't matter what it is. Sexual, food, your taxes, anything. Doesn't matter. If you apply this tool, you can very quickly determine with a very high degree of accuracy, if not near perfect accuracy, You can determine whether or not this thing that you're thinking about doing is moral or immoral, and then you have no leg to stand on if you decide to do it anyway. You have no leg to stand on because you've already ascertained this is wrong. I can't do this. So my last point is simply this, is that as you move through life, if you're a physician, if you're a nurse, and you're faced with a scenario, and the scenario calls upon you to do something that violates your conscience. And you don't have to be a physician or a nurse for this to happen. You can be in any profession. Sooner or later, some sort of a temptation or some sort of a dilemma will arise. It inevitably happens in life. So the main thing is somebody's asking you to do something or telling you to do something. You have to, in your conscience, you have to say, is this right or wrong? And then here's the thing. You have to act accordingly. And where a lot of people wind up getting tripped up is because they're lazy and they're saying to themselves, I'm going to follow my conscience. But what they really mean by that is I'm going to do what I want to do. And to go back to what I said a minute ago, more often than not in life, you will find that the thing that you, if you're faced with a dilemma, the thing you want to do is the wrong thing to do. Just keep that in your back pocket as a rule of thumb and bounce it up every time. Just bounce it up against these ways of determining what is the right thing and what is the wrong thing to do. And almost always you're going to find, you know what? The thing I really want to do is the thing I shouldn't do. Or the thing I really don't want to do is the thing I should do. And if people like, dare I say it, Joe Biden, our Catholic president, if he were to operate on that basis, I'm quite certain that he would not be telling doctors and nurses and insurance providers and hospitals that they have to ignore their conscience and kill unborn innocent babies, et cetera, et cetera. So there we have it. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Mark in Minneapolis. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Patrick. I have a comment about Joe Biden's apparent willingness to see the conscience views of those who do not want to participate in an abortion driven by force of law or rule to ignore those views in their jobs.
Right.
I've seen a video of Joe Biden. He was asked to confirm that as a Catholic he opposes abortion. He said yes. And then he was asked, well, you know, why don't you, you know, try to promulgate those views, you know, in favor of pro-life legislation? And he said, well, I can't impose my views, the views formed by my conscience and my faith on others. Yet now he's willing to have the views of those who support abortion imposed on those who do not believe in it and do not want to participate in it.
Right.
So the hypocrisy of that is apparent.
Yes.
And I just wanted to bring that out. I don't know how long ago I saw that video, but I'm sure it's out there somewhere. And I hope someone finds it. So I'm looking for it myself.
Yeah, I you're right. I'm really sort of speechless because there's nothing more to say about what you just pointed out. I mean, it is rank hypocrisy. I don't think anybody who says that really means it. I think it's just a cop out to say, well, I'm personally opposed, but I don't feel like I have the right to tell anyone else what they should do. Well, of course, in this case, he's doing exactly that. So I don't think he really means it. I don't know his heart. You know, that's for God to know. All I can do is judge actions. And we're called, Jesus says, judge with the right judgment. So we're trying to judge people's actions. Or as he says, you will know a tree by its fruits. You know, that we're told that we are supposed to observe and make decisions on that basis. So I'm not judging his heart, but I can't believe that he really believes it. You know, how do you believe it and then do exactly the opposite? So no, I think that's just political cover, if you ask me.
Thank you for bringing this up. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Mark. Thanks. And I would say this just as vehemently about any Republican or independent, doesn't matter. Party politics to me are irrelevant, if you ask me. It's baked in, unfortunately, in the platform of the Democratic Party, but that's their fault. It's not my fault. It's their fault. That's their doing, not my doing. And if I'm going to criticize it, you know, place the blame where it rightly belongs, which is on the people who formulate those planks in their platform. But when it comes down to you, if you're a doctor or a nurse And you're the one who now is going to be forced to violate your conscience. What are you going to do? Let's go to John in Bluebell, Pennsylvania. Hi, John.
Hello, Patrick. In 1974, when Roe v. Wade was first put into effect, I was chief resident in a University of Pennsylvania hospital. Okay. and due for a very prominent academic career. But Penn started to do abortions, and I could not see myself saving lives in one portion of the hospital while they were being taken in another portion of the hospital. So I quit that academic career and went into private practice at that time in Catholic hospitals at a Quaker hospital. Quakers also don't believe in abortion.
Yeah. God bless you for making that decision.
Comment.
If you don't mind me asking you a personal question. Oh, you have to go. Okay. I was just going to say my personal invasive question would be, how much money do you think you stood to lose? How much more money might you have made over the course of your career? Millions, maybe?
No, but I would have been a much more prominent leader in my field.
I see.
If I had stayed in academic medicine.
I see.
So I gave up prominence in my leadership. Yeah.
Yeah. Prestige is hard to put a price tag on. John, thank you. I appreciate that. Let's go to, she's not ready. Let's go to Woa. I hope I'm saying your name correctly. Is it Woa in Santa Cruz? Or Hua?
Hi.
Hua, my mistake.
Good morning, Patrick. Thank you
Hello.
For taking my call. I appreciate that. It's Hua.
Hua, got it.
And yes, yeah. And my question is about, in becoming a Catholic and going through the RCIA course.
Yes.
If at the end you don't really, if I say I don't really understand all of it, but proceed, is that okay?
Yes.
You know, I would imagine. Yeah.
Yeah. In other words, it's not required that you have a, you know, an expert understanding of all the teachings of the church. I dare say most Catholics don't have that. What is necessary is that you have come to the point where you believe these things, even though you're still working on understanding them, and you assent to them, you embrace them, and you're asking God to enlighten your mind further. That's really what's necessary for you to make that leap.
Yes. Okay. And in terms of, you know, questions that come up, say, from non-Catholic friends, you know, about things that usually I've been a Protestant all my life, and you know, there's reactions in regards to Catholic teachings or what my friends have thought are Catholic teachings. And sometimes I don't know the answer, but do you have a good way of responding to things that I don't even understand fully? But, you know, in a sense, what I'm experiencing is people.
Can you give me an example of what you mean?
You know, they pray to the saints, you know, what is that all, you know, that kind of thing, or I'm kind of going blank because I'm on a, I'm speaking to you, but in regards to...
Do you mean questions that other people who are not Catholic will ask you about, well, why are you Catholic? Because Catholics do X, Y, and Z. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I mean, and I'm saying that to them. You know, I don't know all of it, but I'm willing to learn or try to understand what it is. Because I had no idea up to a couple years ago.
Right.
Anything of Catholicism.
So what I would suggest as you're making your way into the church is at your own pace, just try to study as much as you can, read good books, listen to relevant radio. That'll be a really good thing for you. It's just on a daily basis, if you can, just keep listening to relevant radio, and that's going to give you, that's going to give you a PhD in understanding the Catholic faith.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much material here on relevant radio. If you just keep doing that, and then if people say, well, why do you do that? I mean, why do you believe that? Or why are you going that direction when Catholics do X, Y, or Z? Just say, well, I'm learning about that right now. And in time, I'll be able to tell you. Right now, I'm still learning about it. and, you know, get back to me in 6 months. Then I'll have a more, you know, enlightened way of explaining it. Right now, I'm still learning these things. So you're under no obligation to defend something that you're still in the process of learning about, you know?
Right, right. Yeah, I'm often surprised that even mentioning that I'm reading or trying to understand something, that there is a reaction. I'm just, you know, curious about that reaction.
I can tell you why. I can tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably will resonate with this. I'm assuming you will because you come from a Protestant background. Keep in mind, Hua, that Protestantism as a phenomenon, I'm not talking about the people, but just the phenomenon of Protestantism, Lutheran, Baptist, non-denominational, Calvinist, Methodist, it's born out of protest. And so the phenomenon of Protestantism is basically protesting against the Catholic Church. And that's the reason for being a Protestant, is that you reject the Catholic Church's claims to being the one true church. You reject the Catholic Church's teaching on the Eucharist or on honoring Mary and the saints or on purgatory or the Mass or the sacraments in general. And the whole formation of these different religious bodies is based upon protest. So it's, to use that phrase one more time, it's baked in. Consequently, even if it's somebody who's not particularly knowledgeable, or maybe they've never really acquainted themselves with the polemics involved from the time of the Protestant revolt onward, they're still in that milieu, almost, you might say, that mindset. Well, if the Catholic Church is doing it, it must be wrong. You know, those Catholics, they worship Mary. We don't, by the way. Or those Catholics, they think the Pope can't do anything wrong. We don't, by the way. Or those Catholics, you know, they think all this magical stuff, you know, with the sacraments. And so for many of them, their opposition, or at least their being taken aback when you tell them that you're becoming a Catholic. See, it's different in the world of Protestantism if you're a Lutheran and you meet up with your friends a year later and say, oh, by the way, we haven't seen you at the Lutheran church lately. Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm in a Baptist church now. Oh, really? Okay, that's cool. Or if you're a Baptist and you wind up going to a Methodist church, yeah, okay, that's cool. You know, you're welcome to come back if you want to. But hey, if the Methodist church works for you, that's cool. You can move around more or less within the world of Protestantism from one denomination to another, and no one's going to really care one way or the other. But if you told them that you're becoming Catholic, oh my gosh, because part of the mindset is that the Catholic Church is not even Christian. That's how, dare I say it, that's how ignorant many people are about the Catholic Church. And I actually blame Catholics for this ignorance, because if we Catholics did a better job of explaining the truth of the gospel, the truth of what Jesus taught on these issues, if we just did a better job, I think that ignorance would abate tremendously. But I think that's where that's coming from.
Yes, I really appreciate your giving that overview, because I've been wondering why that is so. And I think I need prayers for just the strength to keep my head on straight, and just, you know, because it's a fairly strong and adamant type of response that I receive. And so I'm just feeling like, oh, I should be sharpening my what I know. And of course, I'm asking the Spirit to really just, you know, help me understand things that I don't really grasp, you know, right away, or just speak what I need to say at the time. But I appreciate
that's wise
that
and humble of you.
Word.
No, that's wise and humble of you to make that recognition. I really would like you to read a book. It's called Surprised by Truth. And if there were a book that goes through a lot of the challenges that you're getting from the folk that are talking to you about this, that's the book that responds to it. So how about this?
I actually...
do you have that one?
I have read that. It actually was left in my home, and I read it, and that started me... I started to relate to what was written there about the what people were saying, and the questions were very similar to questions I had had. And so it was just something that just kind of went deep.
Yeah.
So
I'm happy
I
to
just
hear that.
Have started, I started to kind of read and look at, and just now just beginning to speak to friends because I want to not keep that part.
Here's something
of
you
what
can
I'm
do.
Going through.
Unfortunately, I've got to take a break, Hua, but here, try this. That book, that Surprised by Truth book that you read, take the person who's the most adamant in challenging you about becoming a Catholic, give that book to that person and ask them to read it and show you where it's wrong. And you know what? That person might join you on the journey into the Catholic Church. Would not surprise me a bit. Keep listening, Hua. Keep listening. We're here for you. Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. In today's crazy world, finding companies that align with your Catholic values is a challenge. Your choice of cell phone provider matters. Cyrus and I switched to Charity Mobile, and you should too. Enjoy excellent coverage on America's most reliable network while supporting a pro-life, pro-family company. Use offer code Patrick for a free phone. Don't miss out. Act now at charitymobile.com. I'll be right back. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Patrick Madrid is on Coast to Coast on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back. Just a reminder that last Sunday, Easter Sunday, we all celebrated God's love for us. And we want you to get ready to embrace and celebrate God's divine mercy this Sunday. You can join Father Rocky on Divine Mercy Sunday with our very own Divine Mercy expert, Drew Mariani, for a special Divine Mercy Sunday broadcast at 3 p.m. Central this Sunday, the 24th. It's a live event, and it includes an exposition of the Most Blessed Sacrament and the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, as well as the opportunity for you to call in with your prayer intentions. Prepare your heart and your mind for God's graces on this Feast of Divine Mercy. Join us this Sunday at 3 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio. You can use the mobile app if you want, or go to relevantradio.com/divinemercy. Jesus, we trust in you. 888-914-9149. We'll go to, Lynn in Dumont, New Jersey. Hi, Lynn. Welcome.
Hi, good morning. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. I just wanted to ask, or not ask, comment, I should say, on at the beginning of the show you were mentioning about Catholic hospitals closing and because of this new law, because they'd have to do this, that, and the other thing. And if you want my opinion, I think that's the end game, is to have these Catholic hospitals closed, because they may close, but in my opinion, they're not going to stay closed. Some big conglomerate hospital will take them over. Mm-hmm. So that's my
very
opinion.
Possible.
Well, for what it's worth. But, because with all of these things, they chip away and they chip away and they chip away, you know, with Obamacare and contraception and, you know, for you had to provide it. And then, you know, people had to sue to get the right not to have to provide it and this, that, and the other thing. But they just chip away at everything. And this is just one more chip, I guess.
Yeah. I remember where Cardinal O'Connor, and you're in New Jersey, so you may remember this, Lynn, if you're old enough. But Cardinal John O'Connor was up against this, against the, you know, the big abortion machine in New York State. And similar pressure was being put on him to force Catholic hospitals to perform abortions. He said, no, we're not going to do it. And if you keep this up, I'm just going to shut it all down. So he called their bluff, and he was willing to shut down. Do you remember that when that happened? That was back in the 80s?
Well,
And they backed off.
I've only been in my early teens, and I agree that they may back off, but here's my but on this: is the Catholic Church going to call their bluff this time?
Well, I'm not saying that it will happen. I know what you're saying. All I'm saying is that there is a great example of where at least one bishop called their bluff and he won. You know, there was a game of chicken and he won because they blinked.
Right.
So will it happen again?
But unfortunately, where I am, it's very, will it happen again? I don't know, because the 80s is a lot different than it is here now in this, you know, in New Jersey, New York area. I mean, you talked earlier about, you know, people having to quit their jobs. I mean, I did quit my job in January because I couldn't do it anymore, you know.
What were you doing?
You know, it was just COVID restrictions and, you know, just things that my company was asking to do. And yeah. You know, I didn't really want to get into all of it, to be honest with you, but I could do it. You know, like you said, can you pay your mortgage? Can you pay your car loan? You know, I could do it. So I get people who can't. Don't get me wrong. I'm not judging those who can't. I could.
Right.
But that being said, I don't know. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if they would stand up and say, you know what, or if they would just fold and be like, you know what, we're beat here. You know, I don't know.
Here's what I do know, Lynn, is that any diocese that has a Catholic hospital system in it and the bishop says, okay, we got to do abortions. Okay. I can't picture any bishops actually doing that, but I could predict that if a bishop did that, he would, I think, instantaneously earn the opprobrium of all of his brother bishops and lack of trust on the part of the faithful. So I think it's far more likely, and I hope it doesn't come to this, but it looks like it will. I think it's far more likely that the bishops are going to say, no, I won't back down. We're not going to do that. And if you're going to force us into closure, then you're going to have to do that because we're not going to permit abortions. This was tried in Phoenix. Bishop Olmstead stood up to that. They tried it with a Catholic hospital there. It didn't work there. It's been tried before. Now, will it happen? I mean, this is the thing, Lynn, is that this is a national federal thing. So if it were to be brutally enforced, and I wouldn't be surprised if they try it, then that would mean that I mean, at the very minimum, we're talking hundreds and who knows, maybe over 1,000. I don't even know how many Catholic hospitals and clinics and things there are in this country. But let's just say it's something like 800. Can you picture what this country would be like if suddenly 800 hospitals just closed overnight? And I don't know if the eggheads in the White House are thinking this through. But if it came to that, that might be the very thing to turn this in a different direction. We'll see. I don't know. Thank you, Lynn. By the way, you know, when, just to advert to a totally different scenario, but in the 19-teens, in the 1920s in particular, when the Mexican government that was firmly in the grip, in the clutches, might be a better way of putting it, of the Freemason, communist, atheist rulers who governed Mexico at that time, they persecuted the Catholic Church within an inch of its life for well over a decade. And they were shooting by firing squad priests and bishops and religious sisters and seminarians, and a whole bunch of lay people were killed as well. And they wanted to strangle the Catholic Church in Mexico, which is basically all of Mexico at that time. At that time, Mexico was like, what was it? I don't know, 99.9999999% Catholic. So you know what the Catholics did? They boycotted the buses and the trains and nearly drove them out of business because they just said, "We will. If you're going to do this to us, we're going to do this to you." So they boycotted, say in Mexico City, to use that as one example, they just simply boycotted public transportation. So the buses were going bankrupt very quickly, the bus lines. And eventually that kind of financial pressure began to have a positive effect for lessening of the persecution against the church. It didn't solve the problem, but it was a really effective pushback. So maybe it remains to be seen what will happen in this situation. Let's go to Anthony in Missouri. Hi, Anthony. Welcome.
Happy Easter, Patrick. My question is, does the Catholic Church still teach us outside of the Catholic Church there is no salvation?
Yes, it does. That is a dogmatic teaching of the Catholic Church.
Okay. Yeah, I have several members that are outside of the Catholic Church right now. Well, they were born and raised Catholic, but they left. So I was wondering about that.
Well, I mean, it's a sorrowful thing that they left the church, but there's always hope as long as they're alive. There's always hope that they can come back. If you want to read the dogmatic constitution on the church, where this teaching of no salvation outside the church is reiterated, you'll find it in the document Lumen Gentium. So do you have a pen handy? I'll give you the name of it.
Yes.
Okay, so first word is lumen, L-U-M-E-N, and that means light. Second word is gentium, G-E-N-T-I-U-M, and that means to the peoples. And you want to go to section 14. What we'll do is we'll put a link to this Vatican II document on the show Twitter feed, which is at P Madrid Show. You'll be able to pick it up there momentarily. But just scroll down to section 14. And this is where the church most recently, in that at that level, at a council level, reiterated the teaching that not only is Jesus Christ necessary for salvation, but the church that he established, namely the Catholic Church, is necessary for salvation. And the particular line that you should focus on is it says, those knowing that the Catholic Church was made necessary by Christ would refuse to enter or remain in it could not be saved. That's the essence of this section. There's much more to it, and I encourage you to read the whole thing, but that's the punchline, if you want to call it that.
Yeah. It's also not very popular to teach, too, is it? In among, I guess, priests and pastors. You don't hear it talk about it much.
Yeah, it's true. It's unfortunate, but it's true. And, you know, sometimes those who talk the most about the so-called spirit of Vatican II don't, they either maybe are not familiar with this part of Vatican II or they just ignore it. I don't know. I mean, but the thing is, Jesus loves you and he wants you to be happy. Jesus established a church for you so that you can be saved. It's like Noah's Ark. If you get in the Ark, you're going to be saved, all other things being equal, of course. But if you stay off the Ark, it's not going to work out for you. So my advice, Anthony, I know you love your friends and family members who have left the church. You can be an apostle to them, a missionary to them. If I were you, I would go to the App Store or go to relevantradio.com and click under Listen and go to the page where they can download the app and get that link and text it to all these fallen away Catholic friends of yours. Just text it to them. Say, hey, there's this radio network and they get into all kinds of interesting things. And I know you're not Catholic anymore, but you might find some of this stuff interesting and send them the link. And you might be surprised that maybe all of them, or at least some of them, might download the link to Relevant Radio's app, or download the app, rather, and maybe start listening. And maybe they'll come up to you 6 months from now and say, man, Anthony, man, I'm just so glad you sent me that app link, because if I hadn't seen that, I wouldn't have been listening. If I hadn't been listening, I wouldn't have come back to the Catholic faith. It can happen.
Yeah.
Anyway, I hope that's helpful, Anthony. I really do believe in guerrilla warfare of this type. I mean, please listen, everybody. You may be at your wit's end and you feel like there's nothing you can do and nothing you can say and you've tried everything. Well, try this. What's it going to hurt? Grab the link to the Relevant Radio app and start go into a texting frenzy. Who knows how many contacts you have on your phone? Just go into a frenzy mode and start texting this to all of your contacts, especially those who are away from the faith, or maybe they're not Catholic at all. And just, it's like the sower of the seed parable. Jesus, he says that the sower of the seed, he's just broadcasting the seed everywhere. It's going all over the place. Some of it's rocky soil. Some of it's shallow soil. Some of it's getting pecked at by birds. Some of it's scorched. But some of it is really good, rich, deep soil. And he doesn't know. The sower of the seed doesn't know. He's just throwing that seed everywhere. And you can do the same thing by sending that Relevant Radio app everywhere. If you're from the Philippines, you should send 30, 40, 50, 100 texts to all the people back in the Philippines and say, you should be listening to this. Or if you're from Pacoima, California, wherever you're from, just send this stuff out there and you will be doing what Jesus talked about being a sower of the seed. And then call me back in 6 months and tell me about all the miracles. Barbara in Neenah, Wisconsin, I'm welcoming you to the program.
I heard you talking earlier about conscience, and I thought, and misformed conscience and stuff, and there's some criteria that the church teaches about that, and that if we find our conscience is giving us a direction different than the church teaching, first of all, we have to, one, ground ourselves in what is the church teaching, so we know that well. Then we need to seek spiritual advice from a priest on our particular situation. And then we need to pray in earnest about that decision. Make sure we are not rationalizing, because we like this choice or it's convenient for us, but because this is really what God wants for me. And if we do those things, then we can indeed follow our conscience. But anytime we come up where we're disagreeing with a church teaching or questioning a church teaching, we need to go through those steps to make sure, you know, that we're not just rationalizing because it's the fruit looks good, you know?
I do. I'm concerned, though, Barb, that you might be making a mistake here, and I haven't heard you actually say it, but just in case, the Holy Spirit will not lead you away from the truth in your conscience. So if the church proposes something to you, and the phrase is de fide, meaning as a matter of faith, whatever it may be, then you can be certain that if after going through these steps, you still arrive at a position of dissenting from a de fide teaching of the church, well, your conscience is misinformed because the Holy Spirit is not going to lead you away from his own revelation to the church. Now, I didn't hear you say that, but I was a little concerned that that might be where you were headed. Or did I misunderstand you?
No, no. No, I agree with you on that. No, I do agree on that. It's just a simple thing that we need to go through steps.
Right.
You know, if we find ourselves, like, say, we're about people maybe want to use birth control or they think abortion's okay sometimes, they need to look at the situation and go through those steps before they follow that. So it's, you know, mostly we get misinformed consciences because we rationalize a lot.
Ain't it the truth?
Like Adam and Eve, right?
Oh,
yeah. It's easy to do.
But been there and done that. I have the T-shirt.
Well, we all do it, I'm sure, in big ways and small. But so we need to be well-grounded in what the church teaches, and we need to find out from the director. And, you know, you don't shop around for a priest who's going to agree with you either.
Yeah, and, you know, unfortunately, that does happen quite a bit where, well, this priest told me it's a sin, but that priest told me it's not a sin, so I'm going to go with that priest because it's easier, and, you know, I'd rather do it than not do it. Those are good points, Barb, and I'm glad you brought it up. Thank you. We have to take a break, but we'll be right back. So please stay right there. One line just opened up. If you want it, call 888-914-9149. This hour is sponsored by Ave Maria Mutual Funds, where financial goals are aligned with pro-life values, and fund decisions are based on investment fundamentals designed to preserve and grow wealth without violating moral beliefs. More information at AveMariaFunds.com.
Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Have a question? Give Patrick a call. 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid on Relevant Radio.
This is taking me back, Cyrus. Bass guitar in hand.
Easy to please.
Garage band days. Oh, man.
It's such a good song.
The whole album. Young people. Attention, young people. If you want to hear some really good music, just download the Boston album. It's the first album. Came out in, what was it, 77, I think it was? 70... Yeah, let's just say 77. I could be off by a year. It might have been 76. But the album is Boston, and it'll blow your mind. If you think you know good music and you haven't heard this album, you're going to thank me. Believe me now and thank me later.
Is it true the who's the main guy in Boston? I don't know the band.
Tom Scholz.
Is it true that he made this in his basement? And then...
Yes.
So it was all him, and then he for touring, he went and got a band, and then that became Boston.
Yes, so exactly. So he was an engineer for Kodak, I think it was. That was his day job, and he got his degree at MIT. So he was like a wizard with electronics. And so he created this recording studio in his basement, and he lived in the Boston area, hence the name. And he also, you know, the guitar sound effects, kind of the fuzzy sound effects and the distortion that use on that. He created these boxes, like the pedals that you would... You know, press the button with your feet to get those effects. And so on this album, he's playing all the guitars, he's playing the bass, he's playing the keyboards. And he brought in a drummer, and he brought in Brad Delp, who did the lead vocals. But it's mainly him on all those instruments. He's a virtuoso. And when he went to, I don't know if it was Arista Records or whatever the album was, or the label was, the album was basically done. And so when they signed them and they put them out on the road, they had to hire the musicians to play the bass and the other guitar parts and all that. But it really was him for the most part.
That's cool.
It really is. Yes, that's true. 888-914-9149. Let's go now to Marie in Swanville, Maine. Good morning, Marie.
Hi, Patrick. I just wanted to make a comment about my conscience of faith in my job at one point.
Okay.
I worked in medicine for 40 years. I'm not a nurse or a doctor, but I was a medical assistant in a doctor's office, three different offices for 40 years. Nobody ever performed an abortion that I was aware of, and I know they didn't. But one day, one of the doctors that I had worked for came in on a Tuesday afternoon. We were done, and Wednesday was our day off, his day off. I worked, and he came in on a Tuesday afternoon. He said, oh, Dr. So-and-so from another city is going to start performing abortions in our exam rooms on Wednesdays. Don't worry, you won't have to do anything. And I said, well, I'm sorry, but you can accept my resignation right now. I won't be in tomorrow. And he said, really? Oh, forget it. I'll call her and tell her it's off. I was not going to be a part of that. And
good
I didn't worry.
If
I didn't care if I lost my job, but I mean, it was hardly a split second, but I'm sure it was the Holy Spirit speaking to my conscience. But it didn't take a split second for me to spit that out. So for anyone that might be like, oh, my gosh, I gotta go find a new job. I really shouldn't be doing this job. Just trust God. I mean, you'll get another job.
Yep.
Don't worry about it. I mean, I didn't have to, fortunately.
He will not let you down.
He listened to me.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a great story. That's a very good story.
And so I've thought of it a million times over the years.
Mm-hmm. And I'll bet you that they valued you so much that they were willing to go down that. They were unwilling to go down that road because they knew that would mean that they would lose you.
Absolutely. I mean, it was just the doc and I, and I did it all for him for 18 years, and I, you know, that was totally it. But he, unfortunately, I guess maybe as I had worked for him, it wasn't much of a witness in that he was surprised that I wouldn't go along with abortion, but at any rate,
good for you,
I didn't, and all is well.
Good for you. Well, I'm happy for you, and I'm sure that is definitely a point in your favor when it comes to your own exit interview when the time comes. May it be many happy years from now. Thank you. Let's go to Jairo now in Tampa. Good morning, Jairo.
Good morning, sir. How are you doing? I just wanted to, I just have a last minute change, and I apologize to the screener. I had a question for you, which my wife, I was curious about.
Uh-huh.
First of all, again, hi, my name is Jairo. I'm from Tampa, Florida.
Okay.
And I'm a newlywed. My wife just a year ago joined the church. She was from another denomination. She was an associate pastor. And she joined the church. She asked me at the last moment here, she asked me not to ask the question that I originally intended. So I just, both of us actually wanted to thank you for your vocation, for your ministry there, for all you do, for your radio station, Relevant Radio.
Thank you.
It was very, very, very instrumental in her process, in her journey in joining the church. She's kind of shy. She's kind of looking at me, just kind of, you know, I'm asking her if she wanted to say something. But no, she just wanted to say thank you for all you do and for all the information that you share to the world about Catholicism.
Thank you. Well, please thank her for me. I realize she can hear me speaking right now. I wish you all happiness and joy as you are on the journey. And I'm here for you, Jairo, and for her as well. So anything I can ever do, please feel free to call in if you have a question, or be sure to avail yourself of all the great things that are at the relevantradio.com website. But we're here for you 24/7, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Very good. And again, if you could wish her happy birthday, it's her birthday today. Thank you. Luis
happy Sanchez. Birthday.
Bless you. God bless you.
Thank you. Happy birthday. Feliz cumpleaños. Let's see. Let's go to Marie now in Swanville, Maine. Hi, Marie. Are there a lot of swans in Swanville, Maine? Oh, Marie dropped. Look at that. Oh, well, maybe she'll call back. How about Al in San Diego? Good morning, Al. Welcome.
good morning to you and your mijo, Cyrus. You guys are doing a great job.
Thank you.
Anyway, my question this past Sunday, Easter, the church was filled up and standing room only. And in fact, they had two services, one in the hall and one in the main church. Mm-hmm. And my question is, also, I've been to quite a few Catholic funerals the last few months and stuff. And one of the things that I wish would happen would be for the priests to encourage the people to keep continuing coming to church, to be there every Sunday. You know, we don't want your money, but just please come and join us, and we'll help you get to heaven. So I guess my question is really at funerals and in big masses like Easter and Christmas, there's never any kind of an invitation for the people to really make a choice of being there every Sunday and learning more about the faith. Mm-hmm. You know, have you heard any evangelical kind of encouragement for people in funerals and in masses like that?
No, I can't say that I have. I concur with your view that it would be really good. It would be a great missionary outreach, especially for those Catholics who maybe only go to Mass on Christmas or Easter, to be able to invite them home. I know that there are some parishes that are very conscious of this and they do this, but I don't think it's very many. So I was just thinking back. I feel as though I go to the best parish on the whole planet, where I live in Columbus, Ohio. And they don't do it there. So I'm under the impression that it's probably not a very common thing. But I do agree with you that that added benefit would really help a lot of people. So I know a lot of priests listen to this program. I only know this because they communicate with me. And even a few bishops listen. So it might be a good thing that you're saying that some of them will pick up and maybe, you know, next Christmas, next Easter, or somewhere in between, maybe that'll be mentioned. So it's a good suggestion, Al. Thank you. Let's go now to Dorothy, listening in Belleville, Illinois. Good morning, Dorothy.
Good morning.
Yes, hi.
Pardon? My question is, where can I find a copy of that old catechism? I'm 90 years old. When we were little, when you went to school, you had that Baltimore catechism that was kind of thin, yeah. And it started out, who made me? God made me. Why did God make me? To know, love, and serve him, and thereby gain heaven. I know we have all this big catechism, but I want something really simple to give to my family who are considering leaving the church, and I don't know where to begin.
Oh, easy peasy, lemon squeezy. I'll tell you how to do it. Go to your local Catholic bookstore. Do you have a Catholic bookstore near where you live?
Yes.
Okay. So just go there, or even call them, and just tell them that you want the St. Joseph edition of the Baltimore Catechism. You want book number 2. It has a grayish cover.
Okay, say that again, Catholic bookstore, and St. Joseph's edition?
Yes. So if you have a pen handy, I'll go back through it. So call up your local Catholic bookstore and tell them you'd like them to order. They may already have it. If they're a good Catholic bookstore, they already have it. If they want to become a good Catholic bookstore, they can order it. So just say that you want the St. Joseph edition of the Baltimore Catechism, Volume 2. And it has a gray cover, and there's a picture of Jesus Christ on the cover, and he's pointing to the gospel where it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's published by Catholic Book Publishing Company. And they'll know exactly what you're talking about. And they can order it, and you'll be happy because that's the one you're looking for. It costs about $7. It's super cheap.
$7? Okay.
Yeah.
I thank you so much.
You're welcome, okay. Dorothy. I'm happy I could make your day. It's such a great book. 888-914-9149. How about Heidi now in Chicago? Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning, Patrick. Hi, Cyrus.
Hi.
Yes. I teach religious ed for eighth graders, and they're going to be confirmed in a couple weeks. And tonight's our last class. So, you know, I have a lot of thoughts going around in my mind about what I want to emphasize at this last class. And then I thought, I was listening to you, and I thought, well, I'll just call Patrick and see what he has to say.
Fair enough. Fair enough. So you're asking, like, how do you go out with a bang, so to speak? You know, what should you talk to them about?
Right. What should I emphasize? You know, we've talked about a variety of things over the year, and, you know, they're going to go into high school. They're probably not going to be as involved with the church, unfortunately. We try to keep them involved, but, you know, it's hard at that
age.
Try
a little apologetics. Maybe spend the hour talking about, here are some of the biggest challenges you're going to face once you get back out into the world again. And maybe talk to them about the transgender challenge. Talk to them about the atheist challenge. There are going to be people who tell you that God doesn't exist. There are people out there who think the earth is flat. And all the evidence that you give them, they still think the earth is flat. There's also people who think that God doesn't exist. And here are some ways that you can respond to that. So maybe if you pick out, I don't know, 2-3 bullet point items and say, here are some big hot button issues that people are going to try to challenge you on or try to convince you on, and then spend some time going through each one of them. I'll bet you they'd really appreciate that, Heidi.
Yes, I've been trying to, at the end of each class, let them ask a, we call them deep questions.
I'm out of time. I apologize, but I think those are great questions to ask them. And not only will the kiddos appreciate it, but their parents are going to appreciate that you did that. So give it a try. Thank you. I'm coming back with hour 3 right after this.